Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and I'm here with a very special episode because it is actually our last of the season. We are recording it in April on the 30th. It is going out in June, and in my infinite wisdom, I've decided this is going to be the last episode. It's going to be entirely representative of how much the world will change in 2 months and lockdown restrictions lifting. No pressure for our guests there. And so we will be back in September, and maybe in some kind of weird homage to the fact that you may really miss my ramblings every week, this episode is also going to be breakup themed, something that our guests will be able to speak on. And so we can all console for them, but also this show taking a break. But do listen back to the old episodes, you know, help our stuff on Apple and all of those things are good. Yes, please. Let's see if we can turn that into a sentence in the edit. So, while I take a break to kind of recombobulate, take in all the things I've learned in this season about relationships, I'm delighted to be joined by our guests. This time we have two of them, also another first, and they are a comedy duo, but they are also these multi-hyphenate people where they're musicians, actors, writers, so many things. And I think they're brilliant. Their chemistry is magnetic. Their shows are so distinct in all the best ways. And it's not just me that thinks that. The editor of Funny Women, Kate Stone, said of our guest first Edinburgh show, "If you are in Edinburgh and you don't go see this show, I will personally come and kick you. I won't even be in Edinburgh, but my kick will be mighty. It will be righteous and it will reach you from everywhere." Which I love, not only as like the best description of a show, whilst also telling people nothing about it, but also I love, how does it even work to receive a kick from everywhere? I've got this idea of like your foot like traveling around the globe and getting people from every angle. That's the visual mind, that's what it is. But I agree. So our guests are Rachel and Ruby, who make up the comedy duo Shelf. And I will add to Kate's point, that I think they won't be famous enough until people need a new word for shelf. Because you guys need to become so synonymous with the word that people order things from IKEA, and when you guys don't turn up in the mail, they are devastated. So there it is. Please welcome
it
to your
be
ears.
So good.
Please welcome to your ears, Shelf.
Hey, hello.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I love the idea that if you could Google us being so famous that you just Google just the word shelf and only we come up. Like, we become a real nuisance for buying shelves.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you do, all you can find is us.
And also there's so much comedy value in it because you could just flood Google Images with you pretending to be shelves.
Yeah, we should name all of our shows, like, shelf-related things.
Or
maybe like specific
furnitures.
IKEA names.
Yeah.
Until we just fuck up the furniture world.
Yeah.
Different furnitures would be great.
I mean, are you famous if you don't have a lawsuit? It's a rite of passage, right?
Get sued by furniture.
Furniture is coming for shelf. We are ready.
And so do you think it's fair to say that people are very attracted to your dynamic? That's what I see a lot online. That people just love your friendship, and a lot of them don't quite believe that you're not in a relationship because you get on and seem so connected.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a thing of like, because the root of it is the friendship, which is really nice. Like, I think there are a lot of like, we like started off as friends first and then started doing comedy together. Like, it's also quite rare that neither of us want to do comedy alone. Like, so it is like such a strong, it's not like we're like, oh, we both want to do comedy and then we can also do it together, and that's a good way to like get out there.
Yeah,
like
there's no solo careers.
We wanted to do it together, and like that's what we really enjoy. And so I think it is that thing of, it's like the friendship is just completely legit, and like we'd be doing it anyway. We'd be doing it to three people, we'd be doing it to 10 people, with however many people.
Yeah.
Because we're just there for each other. And I think there's something that people do obviously really enjoy about that, because it's like everyone kind of has a friend, I guess, like that. It's like that thing, like you see memes where they're like, when you find your best friend so funny, you're like, we should be comedians. And we're like, yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah. I mean, we were just like this at parties anyway, so it was time to monetize.
I love that. And I do think it's interesting that so many people just assume if you're so connected,
sorry,
there must be something more to it. And I know there's a whole conversation around stereotyping and like two gay women being around each other, there must be something going on. But also...
Yeah.
Sorry, I turned my headphone off by accident. I'm not used to this.
If For the listeners, in case we keep this in, Shelf are sharing one pair of ear pods. That's how close their dynamic is. It really backs up what we're saying. And one of them accidentally paused them. So I was talking to myself for some of that.
Yeah, apologies. But what you were saying about the relationship thing, or like people assuming that because we're both gay and we're like get on so well that we're a couple, it's like really interesting because before Ruby cut her hair, everyone thought we were a couple, like constantly. It would be like, oh, you guys are in a relationship. We'd be like, no. And they'd be like, but you are though, because one of you has short hair and the other one has long hair. And that's like, how, and you're simple both match, gay, like that's yeah. how it works. And then the minute Ruby cut hair, no one's ever asked since. Everyone's just like, oh, good friends. That's fine. Wow. So it was the hair that made us look like a couple.
That's so crazy to me. And I wonder how much of that is, they just look like boys with good skin. And so they must be kids and nothing could be happening. It must be platonic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you've both got short hair, it's like, how do two short haired people make love? Yeah. I was going to say.
It works.
One of you has to have long hair or it doesn't work, is what we've learned from straight people talking to us.
Yeah.
And they were so adamant. And it's that funny thing, they'd be like, you guys were a couple, and you'd be like, no. And then they'd be like, no. But you've kissed. And you'd be like, what?
Yeah, we used to get asked if we'd kissed a huge amount, like so often.
It's such a, why is that like something you've seen a comedy show and you're like, those two people have hit their best friends multiple times. I wonder if they've kissed.
I bet no one ever asked Morecambe and Wise.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I've just thought of a possible theory for this. I wonder how many people were sat in the audience and seeing your dynamic. They must be in a relationship. That's how that makes sense, because otherwise these are two friends that are more connected than I am in my marriage. So they're together, my marriage is fine, and I will make it true. And that's why they can't get past it when they meet you.
Yeah, although it's weird because obviously this particularly straight female stereotype is that the woman loves her best friend more than her husband. Yeah. Like that's the classic stereotype, is that she's very much like, God, like Pete's great, but really I couldn't live without Iris. Do you know what I mean? Like that's very much the like the straight thing.
Yeah, Pete and Iris.
I don't know, it's straight people names. So it's like really surprising to us that it was like, but you have your best friend who you're closest to, more close than a husband. So why do you assume we're a couple?
Maybe it's because we look like little husbands now.
Tiny husbands. Yeah, so then we're like the best friend, the best husband friends. Mm. The husbands have best, I guess they do.
Yeah, for the pub.
For the pub, yeah, and cricket.
I don't know which I'm more fascinated on, the perception of straight people around you guys or what you think the lives of straight people are. That there are set names, are they allowed friends or not?
Yeah, they're probably both as problematic as each other, to be honest. I feel like our understanding of straight culture is just as warped as anything else.
Okay, so let's see what your thoughts are like about relationships then. So I think you've both got a story to share. So Rachel, do you want to go first?
Yeah, if we want to go breakup, I can tell the story. So there's two routes I can go down. I can either tell you my breakup over lockdown story, which is tragic, or the other option that you said is like, what will life be like in 2 months out of lockdown? So I can tell you one of my favorite like wild date stories, which is why I assume everyone's dates will go when we're allowed back outside, like back inside, I guess, with others.
This isn't fair. Can I have both?
Yes, you can definitely have. Which would you like to start with?
The breakup.
Tragedy.
One. Yeah, tragedy.
Tragedy. The speed with which you knew you wanted tragedy first.
I'm like, I'm always ready for tragedy. Let's do it.
Love the tragedy here for tragedy. So my breakup happened over lockdown, which is just the perfect time to
ideal.
Have a breakup, I think, because all of your coping mechanisms are illegal, which is really nice. And so obviously had Ruby support through that. But basically what happened is, it sounds so stupid when I put it like this, but my girlfriend bought me a Fitbit for my birthday. And I didn't want a Fitbit. And I got very upset. And then I was very much like, I got upset. We talked about it, blah, blah, blah. And then I was very much like, I just feel like you don't understand me, like, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we should break up. And then she was like, yeah, maybe you're right. And I was like, oh no. Like that moment where you're like, don't call my bluff. That's not what I meant. Don't do this. What's going on? And so then, yeah, had to like double down. Yeah. Yep. I meant it. And then tried to get her back. It's not funny, actually. You know what?
I feel like that's what I'm telling you. It wasn't funny at the time either. It was very sad.
I messaged her 2 weeks later being like, oh, I love the Fitbit. Can we get back together? and she said no.
The story ended a lot more.
I thought it would be funnier that I was like quite dramatic and tried to like play a drama card that I immediately couldn't back up. But it actually just is, we broke up. That's basically the whole story.
At the risk of laughing at your pain, I do think it's quite funny. It's partly funny because it ends so abruptly. I thought this... you were gearing up to a big story and then it was like, yeah, she called my bluff and that was it. And so I'm single now. Yeah, Ruby's had to hear a lot about it. So she already knows it's painful.
Yeah, exactly. It really did run out of steam very quick because I was gearing up to tell it and I was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, what then happened? And I'm like, well, no, then we just broke up and there are no more jokes. But in my head, I was like, oh, that'll be a funny story.
Okay, no, believe it or not, I do actually have follow-up questions. So do you know now, you're not convinced I have any questions, I promise I do, was this something where she was thinking of breaking things off and then you gave her like the perfect opportunity or was it spur in the moment?
Interesting. Gosh.
Was the Fitbit on purpose?
Yeah, she knew exactly what she was doing. She knew I didn't want a Fitbit and she got it intentionally. Probably, yeah. It's an interesting question. I would say, I think, because the thing is, though, is that she was, when I originally said it, she was as shocked as I was that I was saying it. Like, it shocked me, it shocked her. We were both like, what? Like, this is dramatic. And like, I'm definitely known, and Ruby can attest to this.
She can.
For being quite dramatic and a little bit like, when I'm going to feel an emotion, I will feel it to its fullest.
Squeeze every last drop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really there to enjoy the feeling, no matter whatever that feeling might be. So I don't think it was like in like planned on her side or she was thinking about it on her side. Because we were both like, oh, what? That's a wild thing to say. And then I think, yeah, she was just like rising to me, kind of like throwing my toys out of the pram, being like, maybe we should just break up. And I think she was at first being like, yeah, maybe we should. And then we were like, oh God,
oh no.
Maybe we should.
Well, I'm quite surprised that question was something you'd not considered. That's the thing that's really got me so far, that you were like, oh, all this time in lockdown, you know what I haven't thought about? If she wanted to break up with me, that didn't occur to me.
Yeah, I live my life very much sort of, I'd say, at like just a happy, bouncy sort of like.
I can't emphasize enough how much of an optimist Rachel is, like, even when it's not correct.
Yeah, it's like if Tigger was in the real world, is how I live my life. I'm just like, la, 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 la. And then Ruby's my Eeyore.
Yeah.
Who tells me when things should be sad.
Oh, lovely little, yeah. Emotional regulation puppy, you've got that.
Exactly.
Ruby, can you top that in terms of a breakup story?
Oh man, I mean,
you definitely can. Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I might be under an NDA here, you know. What's the best way to sum it up? We might need some editing on this section.
Ruby's definitely top mine. I broke up with my girlfriend first and Ruby went, you call that a breakup? And it completely blew my mind.
This is a breakup.
Yeah, completely blew my mind out of the water.
Okay, well, you go ahead and then if you're unhappy with anything you say, tell me at the end and we'll make it disappear.
Thank you. Okay, so I mean, certainly out of the two of us, but also in general, I would say I'm not someone who's classed as like super mentally well. And I had a pretty bad time over the summer and became a difficult guy. Does that sum it up, do you think?
Kind of thing, yeah. I had a breakup, Ruby had a breakdown, and then she also had a breakup.
Yeah.
Basically the gist, I would
the
say.
The gist of it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was my bad, but onwards and upwards. Yeah. Everyone's doing better, I think and hope.
Good. Your one sounds more ominous, but we're going to go with it. I'm more nervous to ask you questions about yours. But I'm definitely getting the differences between your personalities. You really balance each other out, which I think is very cool. If this show has taught me anything, I am less balanced when it comes to relationships than I thought. I think I coasted by on a sort of like being comfortable being single. And if I got into something and it didn't work out, then I was like, oh, it probably wasn't going to work out anyway. So I may be more of the Rachel in this particular dynamic. And I feel like I should share a breakup story. And my favorite one maybe illustrates this, which was I went on some dates with someone I met on Tinder. And it was one of these things where sometimes you're open to dating and getting into something new. And so you go in with a sort of like, let's see how this goes, an optimism that maybe certain people don't deserve. Is that the right word? So yeah, it was in hindsight just drama from the beginning. He was really like emotionally manipulative and very stroppy. And so we only actually were technically together for 2 weeks, at which point he decided we needed to go on a break. And I was like, okay. And I was happy with that because it was a lot of like, yeah, highs and lows and me being accused of bad behavior and being mean or whatever, and then like 5 minutes later, you're wonderful, how have I lived my life without you, real turbulent stuff. And so the break, I was happy to, sure, if that's what you want, I'm not going to argue with you about this one. And then I went away on like a writer's retreat because I have a whole novel that I've done a wonderful first draft on, and I'm a little bit too nervous to go back to it because it's been 4 years and I don't know if I'll recognize that version of myself. But I went on a writer's retreat and was working on that, and I'd made it very clear going into it that there wasn't going to be phone signal. Like, this place was purposely remote that you would concentrate on your work. And so there was only phone signal if you walked to like the end of the drive, and it's in the countryside. So the drive was more like a road. And they didn't have internet in the building, although there were computers. So it was that kind of deal. He did not take this well. So often,
and this is before you've broken up, or this is after you've broken up?
So supposedly we're on a break at this point. So so we weren't together, but it was very much put to me as we'll take a bit of a break and then we'll circle back. But the communication continued to the same level, which was slightly confusing. Right. And then obviously I go away on this thing, and then every so often my phone catches a little bit of signal and just reams of text come through. All kinds of like accusations, why aren't you talking to me, all sorts of fun stuff. And so ultimately, after a few days of that, I couldn't really reply to many of them anyway, even if I wanted to. I was just like, I think, you know what, we just call it, because this doesn't seem to be going in a direction where we could get back together. At which point it took a real turn of, I think like you, I tell this story and the more I tell it, the more I'm like, I don't know if this is a funny story. I think
right?
That's,
yeah.
Is that just our coping mechanism? So anyway, I said that, and then it went from this really kind of manipulative, like very emotionally intense stuff to try and like seemingly get a reaction out of me. Like, talk to me, why are you ignoring me? I will not acknowledge that you are somewhere without signal, to then, but I thought we'd be together forever, I'm in love with you, really intense stuff. And I should say, I'd had no I'm in love with yous prior to this point.
Oh, and my God.
Because we were on a break, I wasn't expecting it. So I was like, wow, where was all of this when a few weeks ago you were like, we need to take a break, this isn't working?
Yeah,
so there's an experience of mine. And so my reaction to it was, I went on a big walk around the countryside and I listened to one track. I think it was Unstoppable by Sia. I listened to that on repeat.
Yes.
And I think I had the quickest mourning period because we weren't even together. It was just quite emotionally overwhelming and confusing. And so I just felt sad and went for a sort of like angry / sad power walk for a few hours with one song on repeat. And then I came back and I got back to my writing and I was fine.
Wow. Nice. That is so good. Did he get in contact with you again?
Yes. So I get generally a message every Christmas. And then,
any other national holidays or just Christmas?
Christmas is the main one, but there's generally, most summers, there's a message, because this is maybe like 6 years ago now. And so, yeah, I clearly mattered more to him than it was clear at the time.
Yeah. Wow. That is, yeah, I've never had anything like that.
I think I'm one of those people that I can be quite dramatic, but if someone's more dramatic than I am, I just go with it. I'm like, okay, no, you, that's your thing, sure. I then go like passive and more chill. And so I think he wasn't coming across a lot of people that were putting up with him.
Yeah, that makes sense. I match the drama. If someone gives me drama, I'm like, ooh, you're coming up to me, pal. Let's go, let's do this.
And so talk to me about processing your breakups then, because I'm assuming you did that together.
Always.
Of course.
Like everything. Yeah, how did we process? We listened to music. The music thing is classic. Ours was Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to that album on repeat,
you gotta.
You're really missing out.
We loved it before, but it really takes on a new energy when you've had a breakup.
It's so good. Just screaming, you ought to know. Like, poof, it's good. That kind of processing. And I think definitely like, just kind of, I don't know, what do you reckon? Just like going on dates again, I guess.
Yeah,
that counts as processing. Or
that's
like
not processing, is it?
Distracting.
You shouldn't be doing that, should you?
Yeah. Just getting drunk and pretending it hasn't happened. Is that processing? Anyone? Is that processing?
Yeah, because I definitely feel that this is probably the most I've ever had to actually process a breakup, like from being inside for several months.
That's true.
Because normally I would just, you know,
hit the town.
Yeah, hit the town.
Yeah, I've seen you. I don't know if you hit the town.
I hit it gently, but I hit it.
You hit it at all. It's a gentle knock of the town. Yeah. You tap the town, I'd say.
We all do things our own way.
I hit the town and Ruby taps the town. That's what I would say the dynamic is.
I've realised I've not given you any points yet. So I think for purely the phrasing on that alone, I love it. That she taps the town. So it sounds like a lot of listening to music, a lot of missing the things that you would otherwise distract yourself with, much talking things through.
Oh, to each other.
To each other in a big way.
To anyone else? No. Yeah. Is it in some ways reinforcing the issues that were there at the start?
Probably.
But we both agree that we're in the right, and I think that's all that counts.
There's definitely a bit of an echo chamber risk.
And how long were you?
It's just both of us being like, can't believe it. Sorry, go on.
How long were you with both of them?
Mine was 3 years.
Yeah, mine was 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that is quite a bit of processing to do.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's so interesting though, because I always feel it just depends on the dynamic more than the years. Like I had a breakup after like. In fact, I need to stop talking, because if anyone listens to this, it will be so bad.
No, I have to hear it now.
Yeah, all names will be changed.
Yeah, well, they'll know. Everyone will know. It's not like I had another girlfriend for 3 years and a girlfriend of 4 years before that.
Okay, here's a trick that I may or may not have done on the podcast in the past. Switch their genders, because no one will ever recognise themselves if you switch the gender.
I just don't think that'll work. I just don't think there's any way anyone would ever believe I had a boyfriend of 3 or 4 years. Like, they would just be like, that must not have been Rachel on that podcast. It must have been someone else with Ruby.
Another good way to get away with
now this. Now in shelf. Yeah, exactly. I'll just pretend to be a boy. I'm not really Rachel of shelf. I'm Richard now. I'd like to talk candidly about all my ex-boyfriends.
I'm joking, but no, I think it's partly the dog noises. I don't know if they're dog noises. It sounds like mousetrap noises in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, they just feed him a bit of water from a pint glass.
Yes. That's my parenting tactic 101 right there. Just give him a pint and he'll settle right down. Bit of beer on there for the dog.
And so earlier you mentioned that there was another story you had to tell.
Yes, to go from tragedy to fun.
Yeah, since Shelf have now realised that their exes could listen to this.
So, yeah, in terms of what you mentioned about, like, what we hope things will go back to in June, or, like, you know, for people listening now in June, I assume this is exactly what it's like. I want to tell one of my favorite date stories from before the lockdown. It was my first ever date on Tinder. Really nice, got on really well. Met her at the pub. Again, really good vibes, blah, 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 blah. And at some point she goes, which I don't know what this says about like my vibe over texting, but she went, I wasn't sure how this was going to go. So all my mates are in the pub next door. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's fair. And how is it going? And she was like, well, I think it's actually going really well. But now they're all having like a really mad time. But you seem super chill and super fun. Can like they join us? And I was like, absolutely. That sounds like a great idea. Bring them in. And I was expecting like two mates. Do you know what I mean? Like I was expecting it to be like
yeah, the emergency backup.
Yeah, here are a couple of my friends. In walks. And again, this is the joys of non-pandemic world. Like eight of her friends. And we're all around a table. And I'm meeting them all, obviously for the first time, because it's also the first time I've met this girl. Like this is definitely our first date. And again, get on really well with all of them. It's a really nice vibe. We're like vibing. And then they're like, we were going to go on to this warehouse rave. Do you want to come too? And I was like, you know what? In for a penny, in for a pound. So then we went to this warehouse rave, and then all the cash points near the warehouse were like not working, and they only took cash on entry. Back in the days when you had cash, although we didn't have any cash, crucially, but all the cash points were down. And I happened to have a 50 euro pound note on me. And
I'm sorry, you had a what?
A 50 euro pound.
A 50 euro pound, a 50 euro note. Okay. In June, we'll have euro pounds. That's what will happen after Brexit. I'm just foretelling to future. That's what's happening.
And could so, you yeah, imagine so if this was a press release? If this is how people were going to find out that we're entering the Eurozone? We've left Brexit, but somehow we have the euro now. And yeah.
And somehow a comedy double act has a niche for
us. Yeah, exactly. And we'll only call it the Euro pound. So I had 50 euros on me. And so I bartered with the security guard to get all, must have been 10 of us in total, into this like warehouse raves, guys. Like, oh, the dreams, the olden days. I miss it so much. Went in and it was like rammed, like loads of like sweaty bodies everywhere, all up against each other. The things were all missing, except maybe Ruby isn't missing that. I don't
know.
Yeah,
no, that doesn't sound great.
But yeah, and me and this girl are like vibing brilliantly. Like we've kissed, we've, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're dancing away, having a great time. She at one point, which I think just shows how wild the evening was, just threw her like card holder into the sky. Like I didn't even know why. It was just like, woohoo!
You did that motion and I thought it was something else she was taking off and throwing into the sky.
She threw off her clothes. She threw off her bra and wish. No, she
just
threw her cards.
That's more a big loss.
She was like, you're not getting my body, but I am removing my money, so I'm now financially dependent on you. What a power move.
To be fair, that probably was the power move and I just had no idea because she was like, I've lost my cards. And I was like, did you lose them when you threw them into the sky? Or like, I feel like it's probably then that you lost them.
I'm really stuck on that because that's got to be her ID.
That was literally everything. Like, oh god, the one that got away. I miss her every day. So she threw all her cards into the sky and we're just having like, it is mad. And like, we found a chair. I don't know where the chair came from, but we put this chair on the stage bit and so we're doing a dance around the chair, kind of like musical chairs, but obviously the music never stopped. I don't know, it was great. And then the warehouse rave stopped and it was like super late and we went back to hers or her friends or someone's. And then I don't know what then happened because I was like, obviously like we were getting on really well and she was very much like, oh, I really like you to stay with me. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. Like really looking forward to kind of like that to happen. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know what I did. But the next thing I remember is I woke up fully clothed in my coat and shoes and like honestly like with my arms crossed like in my coat with my shoes still on someone else's like her friend's sofa, not even in her house, on her friend's sofa. And they came in and it was one of those where you wake up and you're like, oh my god, where am I? And her and her friends came back in and were like, you like passed out. And we all just continued the party around you, which like is bad with your own friends. Like in a friendship group, you don't want to be the one that's like passed out on a sofa. But it's so much worse on a first Tinder date, especially as like she was a bit older and I'd been like doing this big talk and being like, I'm 23, I'm super young, I can stay up all night, meh, meh, meh. And then I'm just asleep in my coat and shoes on their sofa.
Yeah, I think it was my coat.
It was your coat. Yeah. It was your coat. While they're partying around me. And then woke up in the morning, she got me a, this bit's boring, but she got me a pumpkin coffee. It was really nice. I'd never had one before, one of those pumpkin spices. It was you know, autumn.
Setting the scene there.
But just at the end, I'm setting the scene at the end of the story. But it was honestly one of the best dates. Even though I passed out on the sofa, it was one of the best dates I've ever been on. But I just think it was one of the best dates in that, like, non-COVID way, where literally everything you can now not do, we did.
Yeah, like, you could be spontaneous.
You're so spontaneous. And, yeah. And you could have 10 people in the pub at once, inside the pub, crammed around one table, and you could then go to a rave and get in with Euros, because we were part of the European Union then, and that was how it worked. So yeah, that is my ode to non-COVID life.
Wow, that is some story. I love it. You, more points. More points for that.
Thanks. Yeah, are we in competition or are we together? Are the points for both of us or just for me?
I think they're together, but I love that you're getting so competitive about
them.
Because
if you told her it was between the two of us, she would have knocked me out in the next few seconds.
I would have kicked off.
I tell you what I love about that story. I forgot that it started off as a Tinder date. I got so invested in it, and then you reminded me later on. And I was like, oh yeah, this really did escalate. And actually, this is why, for me, I have a cap now on first dates, because I was very much like that, where I would just end up going along and I just keep saying yes, and then find myself like in somebody's house 2 days later and being like, this has been too long now, but I'm I'm now pet sitting and so I can't leave.
I think that's the best thing about a Tinder or Hinge or whatever first date, or any first date. I think you've got to take it to its logical conclusion, whatever, however far that might be. Like, I think that's my favorite. It's the best thing about a first date as well. Like, second dates are never as wild as a first date. Like, first dates, you're both like bringing your best selves, and you're both essentially, well, certainly on my part, I'm like, how far can we take this? How wild can we go?
So, question for you, Ruby. Is that taking it to the logical conclusion, or did she just keep this date on until she passed out?
Yeah, I say that's taking it to the extreme conclusion.
Yeah, which is the logical conclusion.
For you.
For anyone, just keep going till it breaks.
It does sound fun. It does sound like a good night. I'm glad.
Is that your approach to sex as well? Keep going until it breaks?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay, so for contrast, Ruby, if someone was to go on a first date with you, what's that like?
Yeah.
God, yeah. So they sometimes get a little bit out of hand. But I mean, unlike Rachel.
What does that mean? You have a second tea?
Okay, out. I got in trouble at my local work pub, actually. Oh, yeah, no, not anywhere near as wild. Just stole a glass of wine, didn't I? Nothing major. Unlike Rachel, who's just such a deep optimist, I am capable of having like bad dates. So I think the worst first date I had that was a Tinder sort of date was I met up with the girl, and from my perspective, it was immediately going terribly, like really, really terribly. No one was having a good time. It was painful. It was just, yeah, it was awful. And
describe what was awful.
Just like very awkward. I remember she said a bunch of like mean stuff about like her friends, and I was like, that sounds mean. And you know, you don't want to tell someone that they're being mean on a date. So it wasn't going well. And we, for some reason, I stayed with it though. We went on to another pub, and I was like, you know, okay, we'll have one more drink and then I'll go. This can't get much worse. And then she tried to kiss me, but she came at me very fast, and I reacted like a ninja.
And, sorry, can we just stop for a second? For the listeners, if you're hearing this, the dog has been backing up onto Ruby through the story, and she's been staying so composed. And I don't know if the dog just hears a male voice and is like, she's mine, or what it is. But yeah, just determined to like block your entire face on the Zoom.
Yeah, so the dog I'm dealing with right now is quite a young puppy. He's got a lot of energy, and I've been trying to brush him throughout this to keep him calm and soothe him. And I'll tell you what, listeners at home, it's not working.
It is actually the most disruptive he's been.
Yeah, no, I think he
wants the attention back.
Yeah, which is fair. I get that. Come on, Fender.
Does he have a breakup story he's dying to tell?
That is definitely it.
So
where should I pick up from? I don't know where there's a lot of noise disturbance from me.
That's okay. So you were saying that she came in for a kiss real fast.
Yep. So she came in for a kiss real fast. I used to do martial arts. My reflexes are quick. And I caught her like by the chin in a restraining move. And you know, when you do something like that's sort of so fast and so inappropriate that you're like everyone in the vicinity like freezes. Everyone in the pub was looking. She and I were staring at each other like, oh no, this has happened. So I was there holding her face. And then I tried to turn it into a sort of like friendly face stroke. And be like, hey, it's okay. We're not going to kiss, but...
I wasn't 2 centimetres away from killing you just now. We're friends.
Just snap her neck.
Rachel ends up at a warehouse rave. I physically restrain someone from kissing me.
I just can't imagine having a boring, because even the one sort of slightly awkward date I had, I just overcompensate by being twice as loud. And she ended up saying, you don't like silences, do you? And I was like, no one likes silences. Who likes silences? Why aren't you speaking? Keep speaking. Let's get another drink. Are you thirsty? I'm thirsty. Let's get drunk.
Yeah, I've definitely been someone that's done that, where I've ended up realizing the date is going so badly that I almost turn it into a performance of, even though I'm no longer invested in this going anywhere, I somehow decide like they still need to have a good time.
Yeah.
And maybe they're nervous or whatever. So I'm just like, I'm just going to perform telling you about my life at you, and you're going to laugh and we're going to have a fun time. And I don't know what it's in aid of, but it feels productive at the time.
I don't know what I'm achieving by doing this. But I'm doing it anyway. Yeah, 100%.
See, I'm jealous of you too, because I vibe with people or I do not. And if I do not, it's not going to go well.
And so how quickly do you normally know?
Yeah, real quick. I'm aware real quickly how it's going to go.
That's shocking. I never know how my date's going to go.
And so how long do you leave it if you know this isn't going to go anywhere?
I usually think 2 drinks is good friendly time. And then you can be like, well, I got to head out. And... never speak to each other again. Although I had one date that the minute we saw each other, it had been like very vibey over text, and we'd like nearly met up while drunk a few times. Like really seemed quite hookup-y. And then the second we saw each other, I could feel us both be like, oh, just immediately not into it. But we like spent the whole night together, and then both like, I think we shook hands when we said goodbye. And we were like, we're never going to speak again, right? And we're like, yeah, no, but this was fine.
That's so confusing to me, because on one hand I'm like, oh yeah, she overcompensated, they stayed longer than they needed to. The shaking hands bit really threw me.
I know. I think we both had like a pleasant time, but it was kind of like a work coffee or something.
I kind of like
Saturday.
That,
you don't want to waste a Saturday.
I think that maybe that's like top level socializing skill, though, to be like, this, okay, I instantly realize this doesn't make sense as a date, so we're going to transition it into something else. This is going to now be a networking opportunity where we talk about our careers and pretend that's totally normal.
Yeah, deciding a date is more of a colleague vibe, like not even a friend vibe. It's like, colleagues. This is a colleague vibe. Yeah. We actually have an opening at my office if you'd like to join. Your exact right level where I get on with you, but not too much. Not enough to become a real friend.
Yeah, I need people like you at my work, because you won't distract from my home life. I'll want to go home as soon as the clock hits.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we could have great microwave chats. I see that for us. Like,
Wow. And I think, you know what, as much as we were joking earlier about, like, we don't know what's going to happen when people get back to dating, I kind of feel like between the three of us, we might be representative, where we're just going to go out there, we're going to try and be optimistic, we're going to see how it goes and do our best.
I think it's going to be chaos. I really do. I think it will be like top tier, like,
yeah,
people. Because even when we briefly came out of it before, the people I met, like some woman while on the phone with her boyfriend, like tried to kiss me in the toilet. And I had a mask on and I was like, oh my, like she, we like had a chat beforehand, but I was still like, her boyfriend called and I was like, you were waiting for me outside.
I was.
Yeah.
I was like, where is Rich? How long can someone...
It was mad. And then another time I was cycling back from somewhere and someone just tried to get... Someone just got on the back of my bike. And then they were like, you should come to GAY late with us. And I was like, I have my bike. And he was like, put it in Royal Vauxhall Tavern, one of the friends. And then these two girls were like, yeah, just put it in Royal Vauxhall Tavern and come in the cab with us. And I was like, guys, it's still a pandemic. I'm not getting in a cab with you. Like, you're strangers. But also one of them is really cute. So I was kind of like, maybe. How bad? Yeah, no, well, it could have been bad. But anyway, anyway. So I reckon when it's actually like safe to go out, I want to be there for that fucking, the first few nights. It's going to be chaos. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be peak chaos and I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait. Like, I'm going to be fueling that chaos.
Yes.
And I can't wait.
I feel like I'll probably uncharacteristically be completely caught up in it as well.
You've somehow, despite spending so much of your life together, you've in the lockdown spent even more time together.
Yes.
So you're going to get caught. You're going to find that your personalities are a little bit more similar than God intended and chaos ensues.
Yeah, like we come out of this and I'm not an introvert anymore. We're fucked. Yeah.
To be fair, you know, it is always like a mad night when Ruby gets on my level or even anywhere near my level. It's always like it goes weird fast.
Yeah.
It goes really weird, really fast.
Really, yeah, really weird. It's not a good situation.
I quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
Go on. I feel like there's an example you're thinking of.
I'm thinking of the festival with the almost threesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that time I came to visit you at uni and the almost orgy.
Oh, God, yeah.
So there's a similar theme when I decided to match Rachel's energy.
Yeah.
You know, your fans.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm just thinking your fans that we were talking about at the beginning that are determined you must have kissed or something, they will be loving this. Just like one
crucially,
of them.
Usually, neither were near each other.
No, it's never. I mean,
we always stop at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that's made it clearer.
That's made it sound more like sex. Yeah. That's
at least. Around each other is the sense we've given that, which also isn't true.
No, like we said, they've only been almost incident.
Go on, be more defensive, convince us. But no, I agree with you, Rachel. I think it's going to be carnage, and I think that's what I mean by like the optimism. I think people will just be so delighted to interact that they'll kind of be along for the ride, and they'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll spend far too long with this person because I can and I've got so much to make up for.
Yeah. And just making random new friends in the smoking area. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah.
And like making random friends in the street. I can't wait to do that. And making friends at the bar. I can't wait to do that. And making friends at the supermarket.
You're saying you want a new friend.
I want new friends. I've been with Ruby a lot. It's been a lot. Just anyone new would be amazing.
We clearly urged to merge. So
it's essentially like being by myself now when we're together.
Yeah.
It doesn't give me enough.
Yeah, we don't have normal conversations. We just sort of speak when one of us is moved to speak.
It's just into the ether.
You've always developed like a hive mind between you.
Honestly, literally, like we were like the amount that we'll be texting each other and we'll both say the same thing. Like, I was just thinking, and then the other person was like thinking the exact same thing. And then we're like, what the hell has happened?
All right. So
I don't know whether it's good for our comedy or bad for our comedy.
That'll be another exciting thing to find out. Are we dateable? Are we still funny? Only time will tell.
Oh, how connected are those two things?
Fingers crossed we are. Jesus. Oh, imagine losing both comedy and dating.
I could lose one, but not both.
Not both. Please let us have one.
And so all this time to reflect individually, but it sounds like mostly collectively with the hive mind. Are there any things you're going into the possibility of dating again thinking, I've grown in this area, or I'm looking for something slightly different to who I was before in relationship?
Me, definitely. I'm in no way ready to like date properly yet. For me personally, like I'm very much like, but I think that's because the main thing I've learned is to like, as much as this sounds like contradictory to everything I've said about being one with Ruby, the symbiosis that's happened with Ruby, but I'm very much learning to be single with Ruby, but also, but also by myself, like with Ruby.
Yeah, we've learned to be alone together.
Yeah, yeah, single mums alone together. So I think that main thing for me is that I'm definitely less, I'm much more independent, contrary to what everything we've said thus far would make it seem. I think that's the main thing I've gained, is I'm much more like, yeah, independently minded.
Yeah, that's good.
And Ruby?
Yeah, I think like similarly, not really ready to date like seriously, but I think I definitely want to like, yeah, like learn to be single for a while, because I think I've definitely had quite a lot of close proximity relationships. So I think it's a good time to not do that, because you can't. Pretty much all I've been doing is having sort of Jane Austen-esque walks with people. And that's nice, you know, take things slow.
It sounds like actually this has maybe played into things quite well for you guys. Yes, you've had the breakups, but you've had the time to reflect. You've maybe been away from the possibility of getting into relationships you're not really feeling ready for. So, yeah, nice one on making the pandemic work for you, strengthening your relationship. More points right there.
Exactly.
And so we'll move on to our final bit then, the rules of the game. So is there something that each of you, or perhaps...
Oh, so Rachel's headphone has run out of battery in our shared headphone situation.
So only mine's Ruby can hear. Ruby can hear, and I can't at this point.
Is it worth taking that?
But if you translate for me, I can answer.
Okay, so...
This just gets weirder and weirder. Go on. No, translate. Let's hear it.
So Bobby was saying something about the rules of the game.
Okay, great.
So, you're prompting me to speak. I see. So something you try and live by in relationships or dating?
So like a rule that we try to live by in relationships or dating?
You and I do. Together?
Together. No, I think we're allowed to have individual answers.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead. You can use together as well.
A rule for us or for my dating in general?
Like individually, but based on this conversation, maybe that's not possible.
Yes, individually, but based on this conversation, that might not be possible, so we can't give.
I mean, based on the fact that I now can only hear through you, he's like the perfect, like...
There's not even technological independence here.
Literally, like, I'm completely dependent on Ruby to even know what questions I'm being asked. So, yeah, I think just as I say, independence is really important to me. I'm very much about sort of... by myself, for myself, just like that single life, man. Sometimes people say it's lonely, but I'm learning to be alone. And I think I'm really growing because of it.
Well done. Bobby says you did a great job.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much. It's just so good to have you here. Please never leave.
Okay, Ruby, how are you going to top that?
How am I going to top that? Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll give a slightly more serious one. Just, you know, just be honest. Just being honest with people. That's my thing.
Ruby used to be a terrible liar. It was horrible.
That is not
see.
True. I used to be uncommunicative. It's different.
Shout out to all the exes listening. Everything Ruby ever told you was a lie.
Okay, now.
It's quite freeing not being able to hear. It's, if anything, really added to my enjoyment of chaos, I'll not lie to you.
Yeah, we have brought quite a chaotic edit. There's the dog. I'm sure you can hear the dog ripping things up in the background.
Yeah.
Gonna have to intervene there at some point.
We swear we're not normally. I'll intervene because I'm not the one. I can't hear.
Honestly, if nobody's ever called you guys an experience as performers, I think this show will illustrate that.
Yeah, I think we actually have been called both an experience and a lot. So
my ex-girlfriends.
Among others. Yeah, glad we could bring that to your earphones.
Brilliant. All right, well, we will wrap up there and figure out what's happening with the dog. Thank you so much for joining me. And if people want to find you guys online, where should they go?
We are at Shelf Comedy on all of the social medias.
Cool.
And our own names on Hinge.
So all of your exes
also
can
Shelf
register.
Also Shelf Comedy on Hinge. That'd be great.
God, could you imagine? I now could imagine. So yeah, there you go. There's the social media. There's the apps they'll be on. So the exes can register their complaints there.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Definitely the most chaotic we've ever been. And we can only apologise.
Thank you for listening. For more content, including extended ad-free episodes, you can join our Patreon, linked in the episode description. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murtagh, with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet. Speak to you next Friday.